Welcome 2021. How are you guys doing? I hope that you're doing well. I have a feeling you're doing well, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. Boo, man, this is being recorded on January 2nd, 2021. So, you know, this whole, everything that's happened in 2020 that has yet to cease so far in 2021, granted it's only January 2nd, has been exhausting, to say the least. It's been a long year. And you know what? I haven't been on my podcast game, at least on here. Let me explain. I've been busy doing other stuff, including doing my other podcast that you guys should go and listen to. Quick plug, the A-List podcast with my very good friends, Andreas and Isaiah. On top of that, what else have we been doing? What else have I been doing? So I wouldn't say in the past year, because nothing was being active for that long. Again, we started the year off. I was going to school in LA. This podcast was starting to pick up. I was recording, or trying to record, at least every week. Since I guess the last episode that I released, I went and shot a short film with Isaiah, once again a member of the A-List podcast and a very good friend of mine. Since then, I've been finishing up editing that and, you know, scoring it. So I'm making the music for it. I'm doing all of these different things for that. That movie is going to be called Memories With You. Make sure to go and follow that on Instagram and basically any social media that we have an account on. So we've just been really focusing, or I've been focusing on getting that finished and trying to get that out there. It's this whole thing of trying to be productive this year when we're basically not given the interpersonal resources that we may have been privy to prior to 2020 and you know, in a prior to COVID lifestyle, which we are clearly not in right now. But you know what? The production cannot stop. The productivity cannot stop. I've been trying my best to stay as productive as possible while on there, and we will get more into that as the episode progresses here. But I just want to make sure that you guys are doing okay. I want to check in on everyone listening here and making sure that you guys are in a good space mentally. It's a new year, so there is a lot of there are a lot of goals that maybe are being written right now, things that you might want to do in the next year, given the circumstances allow you to do so, myself included in that. I have a daunting laundry list of quote-unquote resolutions, I guess, that I would like to do, and once again, we will get more into that as the episode progresses here. But yes, honestly, I don't even know where to start. I'm completely free-handing this entire episode. It's been a year, man. So like I'd said, I'd been editing that movie. I finished my semester in school, obviously, and part of that was actually finishing my senior thesis, which was Infinite Fest. So, you know, I've talked about it ad nauseum on here, on the other podcast, basically everywhere. If you're following me, you're familiar with Infinite Fest and everything that that was. Initially, it was supposed to be an in-person film and arts festival. It's supposed to be a melting pot of sorts for all sorts of creative mediums, whether that be photography or filmmaking or fine art or fashion or whatever it is. I mean, literally, the sky's the limit. Anything that you could have showcased. There we go. Anything that you could have showcased in a visual medium that someone could look at or listen to, it was fair game. So that was supposed to be in October when I had been writing that out prior to COVID. And then obviously COVID hit around March. That's when shit hit the fan, I guess. And so from that point on, it really was just sort of trying to find different avenues as to how to do the same thing while still adhering to these new social constructs and these new social rules and guidelines and whatnot. So, I mean, I think that I did pretty well. As I was saying, I basically, hold on one second here. My senior thesis had relied on this project. This was my senior thesis, and for those who aren't familiar, let me make you a little bit more familiar. Basically, a senior thesis is made to cap off everything that you had learned through your entire college career, whether that be as a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. Apparently, it's mostly used in the sort of like the master's, doctorate's area of education. But regardless, we had a senior thesis that we had to do. So Infinite Fest was mine. And then come, you know, March, come COVID, come quarantine, I was sort of put in the difficult position to try and reformat the entire project into an online format, I guess. And so, you know, I did that. I made it online, as you guys are very well aware. So, yeah, but I just finished my senior thesis presentation. I talked to a few different people that were helping me out with it throughout the whole process, and basically presented them a final presentation, I guess, the final project, if you will, of like what I had done, what I had accomplished, what Infinite Fest did, everything that I'd learned along the way, and so on and so forth. So, you know, yeah, I did that, but that's it, basically. I'm done at this point. I have done my senior thesis. Next semester, I only have like maybe a few classes that I'd missed along the way to make up for, and then that's it, which is pretty scary, if I'm being honest. It's very daunting to sort of have that hanging over your head of like, okay, cool, like you've got max like 3 more months left before you're sort of kicked off the boat, before you're sort of kicked off the boat of adolescence into full-blown adulthood. So it's been weird. It's been a real eye-opening experience, I guess, trying to come to terms with all of these different things and figure out where you're at and what you want to do and how to get from A to B, essentially. And so that really didn't hit me until maybe an hour or two after I had done the final senior thesis presentation. I'm thinking in my head, like, fuck, like this is it, I guess. This is basically, we're done. After you graduate, we're done. I had toyed with the idea of going into a master's program, and I still am, but I'm pretty dead set on, if I were to go into a master's program, I would be doing it at AFI, the American Film Institute, studying one of the following, just basically like cinematography, screenwriting, directing, and editing. Those were like the four focuses that I really had my heart set on, with COVID coming up and whatnot, which is probably going to be a statement you hear me say a lot in this episode. So I apologize in advance for that if you get tired of that. But anyways, due to COVID, really, it's made it way more difficult to go out and get footage, to go and hang out with people, to work on productions, to work on set, to do all of these different things. So you're sort of forced to, well, A, do that when safe and when absolutely necessary. But for all intents and purposes, you're basically stuck behind your computer. And, you know, again, this is January 2nd, 2021, and this has been happening since March. So I was really trying to find different avenues of still expressing my creativity and still trying to express what I'd wanted to do. And, you know, yeah, it's just been, it's been an interesting experience. But that's how I sort of found out that, like, editing is one of my main passions. I didn't necessarily look down on editing by any means. Any editors out there listening to this, you guys are absolute gods. So like I was saying, I wasn't really looking down on editing, but I was more so just sort of getting into editing, especially when it comes to things like even a short film. I mean, on this Memories With You film that I was working on with Isaiah, it's a 10-minute short film, and I've sunk easily 40 to 50, you know, sort of rimming into the area of like 60 hours on this project. And that's not 60 hours over, it's 60 hours over time, but that's not 60 hours, you know, working for 3 days sort of on and off 60 hours. That is, I literally started a timer to see when I was working on it and then do it that way. And that's been 60 hours, which is absolutely ridiculous. And again, that's on a short film. So working on a feature length at that length, with that sort of attention to detail and that sort of just overall, again, like attention to detail and just trying to figure all of these different things out, working on Premiere, trying to find different ways of making a scene work. It can be pretty exhausting trying to do all of that. And I can't tell you the amount of nights, the sleepless nights I've had, or maybe going to bed at like 5 a.m., waking up at 10 to wake up and go to class, just all, you know, starting at 11 p.m., working until 5 a.m., working on this project. But over time, I started to realize that that's where I really found my passion. I still want to direct. I still want to write. Speaking of which, I'm working on like a feature length right now. I know that I've said I've been working on a few, but this one seems to have the most steam behind it right now. Isaiah and I were sort of talking about working on something together in the future after, or like a post Memories with You type situation. And he wanted to do a horror, and I had really wanted to do a horror as well. I'm not a huge fan of that genre, but I'd still wanted to do it. And when I say that I'm not a fan of it, I don't necessarily mean that I don't like it. I just mean that I don't like what horror has become, what the quote unquote like textbook definition of what horror is now. So, for instance, I really, really resonated with movies like Midsommar or The Lighthouse, where those aren't necessarily horror movies. Those aren't the Friday the 13th, the slashers. Those aren't the jump scares of like The Conjuring and The Nun and everything in that series. These are more psychological and just really, really intended to make the viewer feel a type of way. And that's definitely more of what I've gravitated towards over the years. And I've sort of found my sweet spot within the quote unquote horror genre, I guess. So that's really what I've been focusing on. The script that I'm working on now, I won't get too into it, but I do want to say that the script itself is basically, it's loosely based on this album that I'd come across that sort of through proxy of TikTok, which once again we'll get into later in the episode, had revealed itself to me. And the album is called Everywhere at the End of Time, I think, something along those lines, but either Everywhere at the End of Time or Everything at the End of Time. And it's by this guy named The Caretaker, who also goes by the name Kirby Leland. I believe Leland as in the dad from Twin Peaks. I think that's his actual name, and The Caretaker might be more of his like artistic expression name. But the album is basically 6.5 hours, and I think it's maybe more of like a compilation of albums. It's very loose, and there's not a whole lot of like structure to it of like song, 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 song. The collection is basically supposed to simulate what it's like to go through the stages of dementia, through the six, it's broken into six stages. Each stage is, I guess, its own album, in a certain way. But the whole thing is that, it goes stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, stage five, stage six. And, excuse me. So it's an intense listen, and there's no lyrics. It's quite an experience to listen to. It's like 6.5 hours. So if any of you out there are considering listening to it, just know that before you go into it. Like I said, it's also a very, very dark experience to sort of submerge yourself into. So proceed with caution, I guess. But I'd listened to this, and this was sort of when I had first been exposed to this piece of music. It was accompanied with footage or photos rather of like abandoned malls, abandoned whatever, just really dark places that used to be an area of happiness and joy, and it slowly sort of you know, graduated into this place of desolation and loneliness and just abandonment. So I was looking at that, and I was looking at these photos, and basically was listening to this album, and then of course it piqued my interest once I had done a little bit more research, and at that point I had delved a little bit more into it, and this was so fascinating to me that someone could simulate, or at the very least try to portray what it's like to go through something that is completely unimaginable to go through. It's one of the scariest experiences that you could think about. is literally the increasing unfamiliarity that you go through when going through this kind of thing, like it is with Alzheimer's or dementia. And they're the same thing, I think, essentially. Don't quote me on that, but yeah. So looking into this, I was absolutely fascinated and thought, like, that's what I want to do a horror movie about. I want to do a horror movie about the increasing sort of, again, like the unfamiliarity of your own surroundings. It's waking up in a hospital bed, A, not knowing how you got there, but even worse, B, being surrounded with people that claim to be your family, that are your family, but you don't recognize them, that you are surrounded by strangers that you don't recognize as they're saying, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I'm your daughter, I'm your son, I'm your father, whatever. Think about how terrifying that must be. And that's really where the root of all horror comes from, and the root of all things that are scary or deemed terrifying all stem from the root of unfamiliarity. And, you know, it's one of those things where if you had grown up looking at, you know, something like, let's just say Slenderman, for example, if you had grown up looking at something like Slenderman and it had initially, like, over time sort of been portrayed as something that wasn't supposed to be scary, something that wasn't initially connected to the idea of what scary was, Slenderman wouldn't be scary to you. That's the whole thing, is that you see something that you don't recognize, something that you don't like, something you can't see, something you can't put your finger on. That is what true horror is, and that's exactly what is going through the mind of people when they're experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever it is. And so that's what I really wanted to delve into, is talk about that and discuss that. So I've talked about it for, you know, however long it's been in the episode here, but that's essentially what my next feature script is going to be about, is loosely based on that album, Everywhere at the End of Time / Everything at the End of Time. I think it's Everywhere, but anyways, so I've been working on that, but so that editing memories with you is where I found my passion for editing and piecing it all together. The editors are the real storytellers. Of course, the directors and the writers are as well. But filmmaking is obviously a very collaborative experience, but the editors are the ones who get to see the actual birth of the visualization of this vision, of the director's vision, of the writer's vision. They are the ones that are literally piecing together file types, file names, like MP4s, MVIs, whatever file type you use. They are the ones that see that, see each clip, and cut it all together. And there's such an appreciation for that. There's such a deep beauty in all of that. And so I found out that I really do enjoy that. I enjoy all of the aspects of filmmaking, to be honest. I really enjoyed shooting memories. I really have enjoyed writing this dementia script that I was talking about. And I've really enjoyed editing memories with you. And I've also scored memories with you. And that's obviously, I think that I've talked about my history with composing and making music and whatnot. But that's been an absolute dream come true to do that as well. That's been a very fun experience, just taking influence from different things that I appreciate, movies and scores like Her or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or all of these different movies, and figuring out how music sort of carries and how different instruments carry, you know, each scene and portray emotion that the visionary behind it wants to portray it and whatnot. So if anything, 2020 has definitely taught me, has shown me an appreciation for doing all of these different things, the different aspects that are included in piecing a film together, because filmmaking, like I just said, is not a solo project by any means. It is always and forever going to be a collaborative effort, and that's whether you like it or not. You need to collaborate with people, you need to bounce ideas off of people to do all of that. And so that's sort of, I found a new appreciation in the art of, like, filmmaking as a whole, as opposed to just writing or just directing or just editing or whatever. So that sort of ties all back to, like, why, like, what instance or what sort of focus I'd like to take on in my master's program. But yeah, so once again, it's been sort of a daunting experience, just coming to terms with the fact that this is basically it. After I had presented my senior thesis to an extent, after this has basically been bookended, there's a big question of like, what now, that's being asked of you, and matched with an hourglass essentially of just sand falling, like going, okay, you've got this much time left, and you go and try to do something, and then all of a sudden you look back and it's like, okay, well, you've got a little bit less time left. And it's just this gradual process of trying to figure out what your next move is, and that this is really the start of your life, your adulthood, your full graduation into becoming an actual human being, and not someone that relies financially or otherwise off of someone else. And we all need help. That's clearly just the case. I mean, I'm saying this as I have, moved out of the A-list house with my friends, once again, Isaiah and Andreas. I'm recording this whole thing in my room, but there's this daunting task, and I have never been a fan of complacency. I've never wanted to feel complacency. I've always wanted to strive for the next big thing, the next best thing. And I'm not struggling with that. I definitely have visions. I definitely have goals that I want to hit, but setting up your next step has always been a very scary process. And trying to figure out what you want to do, because you definitely don't want to be the person that, graduates college and, may or may not, in this case, let's just say they may not get the job of their dreams. They will take a job that pays the bills because they get it in their head that once they move out, they can, once they graduate college, they get a job that can help them move out because it's the next stage in adulthood. And so once you move out, then all of a sudden you have to start getting a job that pays the rent for the place that you need to stay in to keep a roof over your head. But that job may or may not be in the field that you want to work in. And that is something that's been so, that's also been really scary to me, is just wasted potential, I think, is such a horrifying concept to contemplate and think about. The last thing you want to do is become the 60-year-old man that goes around and says, oh, well, I used to paint. I really had a lot of promise in painting and working on my art, but it never paid the bills. I never found a way for it to pay the bills. I never followed the process of what it would take to pay the bills with my artwork. So by doing that, I now have to get this job as a banker or an accountant, let's just say, because they also, in this scenario, they apparently have a knack for working with numbers, I guess. But they start working as an accountant, and they move out of their parents' house, and they start working in a start living in a one bedroom apartment, and then all of a sudden they can't leave that one bedroom apartment because they need a roof over the head. But to pay for that one bedroom apartment, they need to keep that job. And it's just a vicious cycle, because all of a sudden you blink and you're that 60-year-old man saying, oh, well, I used to do this, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. And I think that that's probably one of the scariest things to think about. So through all of this, through even this episode and recording it right now and talking, it's just sort of cemented the fact that that's the last thing that I want to happen. So I'm willing to tighten my wallet and save a shit ton of money and really just strap myself down, start applying to jobs in the field that I want to now, and get my portfolio together and do all of this different stuff, which is also what I've been doing, at least in the past couple of days. I mean, I'd been sort of working on collecting portfolio material over this past year and over the years prior, trying to get my experience up, trying to get my workflow up, trying to get my professionalism up to a point where it could potentially lead to job opportunities in the field that I dream to enter. So as of recently, super recently, probably, I just got done working on my portfolio and editing a drone reel that you can go and check out at goodgriefmedia.com. Quick plug. But I've been trying to piece all of this together to make sure that I'm presentable in a professional capacity to some of these people that I hold on a pedestal, that I look up to this industry, that I hold up on a pedestal. not the people necessarily within it, because I know that the film industry and the Hollywood system runs on corruption and money and whatnot, but that's neither here nor there. It's just sort of getting all of my stuff together to the point where I can present myself in that capacity. So, you know, I've been working on that, but I feel like with this new year, it's going to be a year of productivity. I can feel it. I'm getting a lot of work done. I've actually been working on a lot of stuff that I'm very, very excited about. Once again, the feature length that I'm working on, the script, and Memories with You. And 2020 was... I'm not going to say that it was a good year, because it wasn't, because there the circumstances that had to come with the happenings, I guess, you know, the events of what had happened in 2020 is in no way, shape, or form a good or positive thing. But the results of it, I think, were can be positive if you look at it in the right light. Once again, with editing and working on a computer, I've definitely sort of sharpened my knife in editing, and I've you know, gained some chops with all of that in that sort of setting. So, you know, it's now 2020 is going to be the year for me to start showcasing all of that while still collecting that sort of those examples, I guess. I had a laundry list of resolutions and goals that I'd like to hit in 2021. Like I had said, some of those things I'll go over. Basically, I'm looking at a list right now. It's literally, finished a final draft of Rose Tinted Glasses, which is the dementia script I was talking about. I want to drop nicotine completely. Basically, I don't want to be vaping. I don't want to be smoking. It's really, a lot of it's supposed to be taking care of myself as well, just because, especially in 2020, being that there's no obligations that you have to fill necessarily, things like, you know, waking up to go to your 9-to-5, things that I had been facing while working at the radio station, all of these different things that would maybe have not allowed me to indulge in either drinking or whatever it is. You know, because you can't go out and drink too much the night before because you've got work the next day, whatever. You don't really, or at least I personally haven't faced that in 2020. So I ended up like drinking a bunch, and I mean, not like a concerning amount, but a concerning amount, I guess, if that makes sense to you guys. So another big thing was sort of just pay attention to my alcohol consumption. I don't want to go completely sober because I do enjoy alcohol, and I do think that given the right circumstances, I can control it and be sort of cautious about, you know, red flags and whatnot with all of that. So, you know, I say that as I'm drinking a beer right now, but, you know, it's all in moderation. And that's, again, sort of the main point is not dropping it necessarily, but more so just being cautious, being aware of your drinking habits and your consumption of outside sort of substances, I guess. So, you know, I really would love to work completely sober. But I, to be honest, at this point, don't really see that as a possibility. I mean, obviously all of the best writers and whatnot are also tending to be like raging alcoholics or have some sort of like serious issues going on in the background. I'm not one of those guys, but, for any creative people out there, you know firsthand, most likely, that substances help, that, you know, maybe a script comes out a little bit easier, maybe a song comes out a little bit easier if you're drinking. All of the times that I was editing Memories, I was having a good time. I was drinking while I was doing it. I wasn't necessarily getting drunk, but I was definitely drinking whilst doing it. And it was, you know, I was having fun doing it. So it was all just sort of a positive experience. But I want to test myself and see that if I'm able to do that soberly, I guess. So, yeah, you know, it's been that. And then what else happened in 2020/2021 now? I mean, probably 2020 more so because it's only the second. But what did I do? Oh my God. Okay, so TikTok. I know this is going to seem kind of jumbled and jumping from one topic to the next, but I figured that I'd want to fill you guys in on what I've been up to and hopefully do more of these podcasts in the future. But TikTok, I hated TikTok for the longest time. All I thought that it was like trending dances and just straight cringe material. I was quickly proven wrong after the A-list boys, Andreas and Isaiah, had sort of told me like, hey, you should really start thinking about getting into TikTok. Just like watch it. It's really, really good. They have a place for everyone. They're super niche sort of pockets of TikTok that you can get into. The algorithm is incredible. If you start liking stuff that you actually like, then it'll start to show you more stuff like that. And over time, you sort of have this polished For You page, this polished featured page of things that you genuinely enjoy. And so I got on it and I had, you know, started making a few here, and that was, you know, it was all fine and well. And it had a few, you know, a few ones pick up steam, maybe like 500, 600 views, like 100 likes, something along those lines. Nothing crazy, but, you know, started doing that. And then I forgot what video it was that actually like blew up, but you know what it was? It was bands we can't publicly listen to anymore. So basically it was just talking about bands like Brand New or I forgot who else was in the first edition. Oh, Sorority Noise and Old Grey, which also has been debunked at this point. So maybe don't take my advice on that. But the whole thing was, it was basically addressing bands that had some sort of allegations against them, the majority of them being sexually related, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, every allegation is a bummer, but I would just like, most of the bands that I had addressed, if not all, have been all related to like sexual misconduct, things involving minors, just not good, very, very bad, ugly shit. So that's what I did. And then I forgot how long it took, but I think I posted it at the right time. I'd started doing a little bit of research into the algorithm and the analytics of like, when's the best time to post, when's the highest engagement points on TikTok. And I can thank that all to my thesis project, which is sort of just paying attention to all of the numbers and statistics that come in from this kind of thing. So I did that, and I maybe posted it like at night and then went to sleep and woke up. And all of a sudden, when I'd gone to sleep, the video maybe had like a couple hundred views. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Like, it's doing pretty well. It's picking up some steam. Woke up and it had like 20,000 views. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, this, I might be onto something here. And, you know, you always want to strike while the iron's hot. So I made another video that wasn't in that same series. It wasn't a bands we can't publicly listen to anymore type video. It was something else, but still in that same realm of music and pop punk, talking about Tidal Fight or the Front Bottoms or Modern Baseball or whatever the hell band I was talking about. And before you knew it, it just like that video kept growing and growing and growing. And I think it's now at, I'm not going to pick up my phone and look, but I think it's resting around like 170,000 views or something like that. Something crazy, just like an asinine number. And that basically was a catalyst to me starting to post on TikTok on a daily basis, according to the analytics and making sure that I was posting at the right times and whatnot. But I actually just hit 5,000 followers, which is huge for me. I've never reached a number like that. I mean, aside from Do Good Things reaching like 200,000 views, but that wasn't because of the work that I did. It was only because I happened to work with an actor who blew the hell up shortly after the movie had come out. So everyone was going to that to check it out, whatever. So yeah, you know, and now at this point I'm however many TikToks deep, I have no idea. I mean, I've been doing it for maybe 3 weeks now. I've been doing it for 3 weeks now and I hit 5,000. So that's not a bad number to reach, if I do say so myself. I'm very happy and proud of the content that I've been putting out. Again, once again, it's all been sort of pertaining to, you know, the things that had gotten me that many views in the first place. You know, I know where my bread is buttered, essentially. It's talking about, again, bands like Modern Baseball and Tidal Fight and all those types of bands. But yeah, so I've been doing that, been doing a lot of TikTok. I know that sounds so cringy to say, but once again, I know where my bread is buttered. I know that there are people on there that I'm starting to get a little bit of traction and steam on there. So I obviously want to start going into that. This will actually, this podcast episode will be advertised on TikTok. So hopefully this will get more listeners. As a matter of fact, if you've made it this far into the podcast, into this episode, and you follow me on TikTok, if you heard about this on TikTok, please make sure to leave a comment, leave something, shoot me a DM on TikTok or Instagram or wherever you follow me, and let me know, because I'm actually curious if you guys have listened to this far, if I'm on to anything with doing this podcast. This is something I've been doing for a long time. So you know what, if you guys are going to continue to listen to different episodes, then I might just try to start making this a weekly occurrence again, if not a bi-weekly occurrence. But yeah, so TikTok has been a really big thing for me, especially in the tail end of 2020. Like I said, I've been working on the podcast, the A-List podcast, just doing that because that sort of, I don't know if it picked up steam necessarily, but we really started to put all of our eggs into that basket. If not for anyone else, then especially Andreas. He's been absolutely killing it on the production side of things. We were living together for a while, and the podcast kind of fell between the cracks of living together, and he made a good point saying that it was because we lived together that I think the podcast sort of fell between the cracks. There was nothing new to talk about. There was no exciting news on each other. There was no sort of, exclusive on each person, because we were living together. If something exciting happened, they'd be the first person that we would tell. So since moving out, the podcast has actually been picking up a little bit, at least for us. We've been trying to focus on all of that, but yeah. So you know, I've been focusing on that and doing A-List, but yeah. I mean, what else have I done? What have I talked about so far? I've talked about memories. I've talked about working on the dementia script. I've talked about working on my portfolio and doing TikTok. Those are some of the big highlights, I guess, the highlights that I've sort of hit in productivity, things that I've been working on. As far as showcasing or talking about some of my favorite things that I guess I've done in the past year, it's been sort of stagnated for obvious reasons. But I got to do a photo shoot with my good friends and Johnny Goth. You guys obviously are aware of them. You've seen that I have an interview with them over Zoom on here, so make sure to go and listen to that. But you know, I had a photo shoot with them at Hollywood Forever Cemetery that was on film. That was super, super exciting. I loved the photos that came out. They were some of my favorites that I'd ever taken, probably. I started getting into film photography. That sort of ties into the whole Johnny Goth shoot, because that was all shot on film. That was all shot on, I believe, T-Max 100. It was black and white. This was one of the first real photo shoots that I had gone into, the first real photo shoot that I'd really approached and said, like, okay, wear these types of clothes. We're going for this kind of vision. We're shooting on black and white film, so I want it to look like this, so on and so forth. And I think that we really, really did a good job with the overall creative vision of what I'd had in mind for that. So that was super exciting. You guys can go and find all those photos basically sprawled across my Instagram page. I'm trying to create some kind of lookbook, if you will, on goodgriefmedia.com, so you guys can go and see the photos for yourself. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into some of the actual, I mean, I made a quick list of like the top three movies that had come out this year for me. And then the top three albums that I had just released as a TikTok video. Both of them actually have been released as TikTok videos. But top three movies. Number three was Mank. This was directed by David Fincher. It basically is with Gary Oldman, and it basically chronicled sort of the history behind Citizen Kane, which, if you don't know, is like probably, it's deemed as like the best movie of all time, essentially. Not so much anymore, but for the time when it came out, I don't have the exact year, it was definitely the best movie of all time. It was so, like, it just completely blew everyone out of the water. There was nothing like it out at the time. So that one was fantastic. Mank was very good watch. It's on Netflix. Next one up was actually King of Staten Island. That was number two, directed by Judd Apatow. It was written by, I think, Judd Apatow and Pete Davidson. There might have been one more writer in there, but yeah, that one was very good. It sort of tackled a very difficult topics of parents dying at a young age in a child's life. And you're just going about that. It was loosely based on Pete Davidson, because obviously, if you don't know, his father in real life, not in the movie, but in reality, died during 9/11 because they lived in New York, and his dad was a firefighter, and so he had passed away during 9/11. So that movie is loosely based on him. But meanwhile, while it's like sad and it's very heartfelt, it's a really funny movie too. But like, aside from the fact of like it dealing with such heavy topics, it takes those topics and basically it doesn't poke fun at it by any means. It takes it very seriously and with a heavy heart, but it kind of, it allows for some humor to sort of slip through the cracks of what it is, slip through the cracks of, I guess, like the heartfeltness of it, the sincerity of the movie. There's a lot of humor that sort of goes through there. There's a lot of really cool cameos as well. What's his name? Action Bronson has like a quick cameo in it. Probably one of the funniest scenes in the movie. Loved that. It opens up with like one of my favorite songs, Just What I Am by Kid Cudi and King Chip. I love, love, love that song, and it's to a very heavy scene that I can definitely resonate with. So that movie was definitely going to be number two, King of Staten Island. And then number one, this one probably isn't going to be too surprising if you guys know me at all, but it's I'm Thinking of Ending Things, written and directed by the man, the myth, the legend, Charlie Kaufman. This man is my absolute god. I love Charlie Kaufman more than, you know, life itself. It's so... such a dark movie. It's so freaking dark, but it's really the attention to detail is absolutely unbelievable. There's so many. I think the weekend that it had come out, because it came out at midnight on a Friday. I think between the Friday that it came out and that Sunday, I had probably seen it like five times, give or take, just with different people, because it's one of those movies that I watched the first time and went, holy shit, this is amazing. I need to show this to everyone in my immediate vicinity. So I tried to show it to people, but it's one of those things too where it's like you need to watch it with them and be like, no, wait, hold on. But you need to be that annoying dude saying like, wait, you got to watch this scene. Don't get on your phone. Like, you have to pay attention. So it's one of those movies. If this is your first exposure to hearing that movie title, then, and if that doesn't sound like it's for you, then it probably isn't. You really have to watch it and even watch it a few times just so everything starts to click. But there's little things like, you know, he'll be talking about something and then you'll look at like, you know, a scene 45 minutes later in the movie, and then that thing that he was talking about 45 minutes ago kind of comes back, but as like a book on his bookshelf or something along those lines. There's so many different references that are sprinkled throughout the film that just make it an absolute, just legendary piece of cinema. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, let alone 2020. But yeah, I'm Thinking of Ending Things by Charlie Kaufman was definitely my number one. Now on to, I guess, best albums of 2020. I'm so sorry that the tail end of this podcast is sort of just getting like all over the place. It's been a while since I've done this and my throat is getting quite dry. If you haven't been able to tell, I feel like I'm starting to lose a little bit of my voice because we've been doing this for going on 45 minutes here. But anyways, top three albums of 2020. This is in no order. I'm going to actually pull out my notes here because I have them written down. But let me see here. Yes, yeah, so the first album that I was going to talk about was The Microphones in 2020 by The Microphones. Obviously, this is just what's his name? I don't know why I'm forgetting his first name right now, but Evrim, the guy behind Mount Eerie and The Microphones, hadn't released music under The Microphones' name in like decades, I think, and I don't know if it was his most recent release prior to this, but it's what keeps coming to my head was The Glow Part 2. You might be familiar or recognize a few of the songs on there, most notably I Want the Wind to Blow and the Glow Part 2, I believe, because those were sampled in Little Peep songs. So that's actually how I found out about The Microphones. But again, he hadn't released music under The Microphones' name in years and decades. So having this come out was huge, 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 huge. And they had always been sort of a reclusive group. He had never been super transparent about his life and his home life and the writing process and whatnot. And The Microphones in 2020 is basically, it's one long song, as I like to call it. It's just an ongoing same sort of chorus and chords, not chorus, but chords that occur throughout the entire album, through the 45-minute album. But the lyrics are what really bring it to life. He talks about the entire process from conception to production to release and to distribution of the Glow Part 2 and of his entire musical career. He talks about in this album, which is just, it's such a great listen if you are at all a fan of the Microphones. The Microphones in 2020 was definitely one of the choices for my favorite album of the year. Next up was going to be The Great Awakening by my man, Johnny Goth. I obviously am friends with this man. You've probably heard me talk about it. Obviously, I interviewed them. But I like this album aside from the fact that I'm friends with him. I'm not just a fan of this album because I'm friends with him. I like this album because it's legitimately a great album. He did an absolute bang-up job with the production. He is really just sort of changing the game, if you will, with production in the melding of like different genres, because it is lo-fi and it is gothic, but at the same time there are hip-hop influences, but it's not directly hip-hop. It's difficult. You can't really put it into words. It's just such a great experience to listen to. And yes, so The Great Awakening by Johnny Goth, definitely check that out. And then finally is going to be The Great Dismal by Nothing. I slept on this album for way too long. I had been aware of Nothing for a little bit of time, being a fan of Were, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but they had some things come out against them, some transphobic comments that they had been posting online that turned out to be a merch guy of theirs. Anyways, Were, they should be cleared of all sort of allegations, I guess, because it looks like everything is sort of cleaned up. Anyways, I found out about the band Nothing from a split they did with Were, and ever since then I've been listening to them on and off. I'd never really gone out of my way to listen to them, but from what I had heard, I had absolutely loved them. So yes, The Great Dismal by Nothing is such a great album. Actually, funny enough, I was on a TikTok live and someone had asked my opinions on that, and I couldn't have any opinions because I hadn't listened to it. And that night I sat down and listened to it while I was doing something. I was maybe writing or I was editing or something. So I turned on The Great Dismal by Nothing and was just absolutely touched. It was such a beautiful album. Very shoegazy, but not so shoegazy that it sort of turns the listener off. It's just such a great experience to listen to that. So yeah, The Great Dismal by Nothing is going to be my other choice for top album of 2020. And aside from that, I mean, I think that I've covered everything. This really was just, I would like to say that this seemed like a pretty streamlined podcast. I sat down and started talking before you knew it. We're at 48 minutes now. So I think that I've gotten everything out. If I've missed anything, I will probably touch on it in an upcoming episode. But yeah, once again, big on, you know, gaining some traction on TikTok. So if there's anyone from TikTok that heard about this episode or podcast on TikTok, please make sure to somehow find a way to let me know over DM on a plethora of social medias. But yeah, just let me know, because I am actually very curious to see how well sort of the plays performed thanks to TikTok now. So yeah, I think that's about it. It's been, 2020 was a bummer year, man. It really, really sucked in terms of news and world happenings. It was a dark year, and I'm not a stranger in saying that. I'm not saying anything new, and I would just like to say rest in peace to MF Doom, Daniel Dumoulin, the villain, my man, that you were such an icon. That was probably, oh man, that was rough. That was a rough thing to get through. I know that he, yeah, okay, like at the first glance, he's just a rapper, I guess you can say, but he was such an icon to so many people. He was such an inspiration to so many people, myself included in that, just due to his individuality and his being different. And his success off of being himself, off of being who he was. He never conformed. He never tried to like shoehorn any sort of weird, unfamiliar, themes that he wasn't already a fan of. And, you know, that the news broke on December 31st, and that was probably like one of the worst ways that you could have ended in 2020. But needless to say, his legacy is going to be hopefully carried on forever. I will certainly obviously continue to listen to him. What the hell? I mean, obviously, I'm going to still listen to fucking Doom. I love the man. I love his music. But I hope that everyone else does too. I mean, there's been a lot of gatekeeping I've seen, at least on TikTok, where it's just like people saying like, oh, like fuck all these new MF Doom fans, whatever it is. But man, like, you don't want that mindset, dude. That's so stupid. If you like the artist, you would want them to succeed. You'd want them to get more follows. You'd want them to be more successful. You'd want more people to listen to it, to be exposed to that kind of thing, so that you can talk about it with people and you can express your passions about it. So all of this gatekeeping shit is just so stupid, so asinine, so juvenile. Like, just don't be stoked that your favorite rapper is listening to you're like your favorite artist is being listened to by like so many other people, so many new people. With that being said, the thesis statement, I guess, that comes from gatekeeping, I do understand, where it's like, don't pretend like you listen to someone just for the clout. Don't pretend like you are a big MF Doom fan so that people will think that you're cool and cultured now. Also, let that be said that, like, being an MF Doom fan doesn't mean that you're cool or you're cultured. I'm just saying that, like, he's a great artist, and so it kind of speaks for itself that if you are a fan of his, you kind of have an idea of how well-versed the other person is, the listener is, in this sort of genre of hip-hop and whatnot. So, you know, yeah, like, fuck the fake fans. Don't pretend like you listen to music just for the clout, but at the same time, if you didn't know about someone's music and then all of a sudden it started getting blown up and everywhere on your feed because someone passed away and you check it out and you happen to like it, like, go for it. I'm so happy that someone is listening to his music. Someone new is listening to his music. I'm honestly jealous of those people that are hearing MF Doom for the first time, because I remember the first time I heard him, I was absolutely blown away. I was just in awe, because his lyricism was unmatched. Everything was just out of this world. He really set himself apart from everyone else, and that's from the very beginning of his career, working with his brother Sub Rock, rest in peace, with KMD, into his revisiting into making music in 1997 after his brother had passed away in 1993. So yeah, you know, it's just, there's so many different influences. He is your rapper's favorite rapper. MF Doom is your rapper. Is your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And while that statement is kind of overplayed and it's a little bit of a meme at this point, it doesn't make it any the less true. So many people, so many artists that we celebrate now took influence from MF Doom, whether they knew it or not. So his influence will just always be there. And I genuinely appreciate what he's done for the music community and for artistry in general. So, yeah, rest in peace, MF Doom. Rest in peace, Daniel Dumoulin. We love you. We're going to keep it pushing. But, yeah, thank you for all that you've done. So, yeah, I mean, I know that kind of ended on a little bit of a bummer here, but I wanted to make sure to address him and his legacy before leaving this episode. So, yeah, what are we at? We're about 55 minutes here. We're coming up on 55 minutes, but I appreciate every one of you guys for listening to this. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the TikTok followers. I sincerely appreciate you being interested in what some idiot with with a platform has to say about something that you're interested in. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you. And yeah, once again, I think this will be like the third or fourth false ending to this, but this will actually be the real ending. I appreciate all of you guys. I will see you guys in the next episode, hopefully in the next week or two here, depending on how this one performs and how everything goes. But yeah, man, happy 2020, happy new year. I love all of you, and make sure to stay positive. We've got this next year in the bag, so make sure to, you know, don't go out. If you do go out, wear a fucking mask. Throw on that hand sanitizer. Just be safe, people. please don't be stupid. We want to leave COVID in 2020. Let's just keep it pushing. You know what I mean? So thank you guys. All right. I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.